We are Brightside Home Theater. Home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, a home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds.
This week, the croaks.
The croaks?
The croaks.
Not you croaks just yet. Can't stick to the script, can you?
I like to wing it.
The sights, the sounds, and the scenes, okay, for the first-time listeners.
The croaks.
First and last time listeners.
Yeah, exactly. But we got all sorts of sights, sounds, and scenes today because it's been... my notes have gone out the windows, boys. The window, windows, whatever. It's been a disaster of a day. It's all started late last night. So, do we want to get to that? Do you want to do some pleasantries?
Tell us all about it.
We're way behind right now.
Yeah, we have a lot of time. So,
let's just jump right into it. Here we go. And we're going to open with tweaks of the week because, you know, sometimes you sit down and you want to tweak something or, you know, you want to improve your system. And other times your system just says, F you, you're done. So let's open up with this right here. This is my left front channel. And this little guy here, as you can see. Right in this area right here, well, blew a speaker last night.
Yeah.
So it's not supposed to look like that. So I was watching one of the movies on my list that we won't talk about. We'll talk about, I've pushed my movies to next week.
Was it Halloween Ends?
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. As a matter of fact. So this is the, let me see what the next picture is. This is what a good one looks like. And you can see here, this is the right channel. It's all supposed to be sealed all the way around the edge. See that? Not so much. This is how they sit in my cabinet. That's the one to the left side of it. You see a little dust at the top there and stuff.
You and Steve with the dust.
Yeah. Well, it sits inside the cabinet all the time, so that's how it just looks, right? Then that's what it looks like without it, because, you know, sometimes everything, I always say everything happens for a reason. And this happened last night at around 9 o'clock, and I was just like, are you kidding me? And I was like, because all of a sudden you can hear it when you get that. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, guys, but
I've blown plenty of car speakers in my day. Never at home, but.
And it's Steve.
I've heard them in a commercial cinema. When I worked in a cinema, we blew one there, but not in my own one. I couldn't possibly.
You never know. It's not a volume thing or anything like that. It happened to me once about 15 years ago. Same idea. Like I think I was luckily at the time I was running all three across the front, and I just, you know, it was easy to replace. And I wasn't doing a podcast at the time, so it really didn't matter if you had a system or not. Right. So, all of a sudden I'm just like listening to the movie and you'd get to some bassier scenes. And instead of just getting a nice solid boom, you get up off to the left. And I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm like, oh no. And I let it go when I finished the movie and I was like, all right, no, I'm sure it was just getting worse and worse. Cause when I talk about this movie next week, you'll understand because it had great bass. So when you look at this, it's just, I didn't want, you know, when you know something is wrong, but you don't want to look.
You don't want to know, right?
Yeah, you're like, well, maybe if I just ignore it, it'll go away. It'll be better in the morning. And I was like, all right. So I had to take off the front panel of my system here. Here we go. That's what it looks like when it's just normal, okay? Because that's all speaker cloth sitting there. So that's, you know, this is all covered in speaker cloth. This is the left side that actually has had the damage. This is the right side. So, and this is where I put my center channel. So we'll get to this in a second. So, well, you know, now I go to bed last night and I'm like, what am I going to do? Because I'm looking at my center channel and I'm like, I don't have the space here because, you know, like I said, everything happens for a reason. And I was going to do this face off with my SVS speakers that just so happened to be sitting right outside the theater, still in their boxes. So what do I do? I'm like, all of my tools, everything I own is at my daughter's house. This board here is too high up. This is where down here is where my subwoofer goes. And up here is where my center channel goes. And this board, the SVS Ultra center channel speaker is too tall. It's 8 inches. And the my NHT C series is 7 inches. And I just got it up there, right up inside there, and like an idiot, wrong. Just a bad design, piss poor design, because now I had to take this whole thing apart. I did this last night. I took up this all apart, and this was all, anyways, it's all screwed in from the other side. This is what it would look like. Obviously, this is all enclosed on the back side. I had to take it apart for this to install this stuff. But no light comes through because no light gets in there on the backside. The backside of it's my theater closet. So here we are with, that's the new SVS speaker in place on the right side. That's just a view of what it looks like from the back, because I did talk to Jay at SVS, because SVS speakers have rear ports. And I wasn't sure how that was going to affect the sound, because if you stuff something in a cabinet like this or up against a wall and it's got rear ports, it can bloat your bass. So I called SVS up, called the helpline, got a hold of Jay, and we exchanged. That's where a lot of these pictures, this is a picture of that on right here, is the puny little NHT, and that's the new SVS right next to it. So you could see the comparison there. I'll have better graphics later. These are horrible because you can see in the image, it's all blown out on YouTube. But what I'm looking at is actually a nicer picture. But anyways, going back to talking to Jay, I was taking these pictures and I'm like, well, is this going to blow out my, my bass? I don't want bloated bass or anything like that. And he's like, well, what do you got for space? So I sent him this picture here and I go, this is all sound absorption. This is 1.5 inches thick, recycled denim, and that's what I use for sound absorption, and it's all stuffed in there. And then I said, I also do, where's the image that I had before? This is the finished product. Where's the image? Oh, I didn't save it. This is what it looks like after this is what the center looks like all installed. This stuff's on the sides. This is stuffed into the side. It goes all the way back. Same up here. I still hadn't enclosed it on the top, but that's the center channel there. But up here gets another piece stuffed on top of it. So anything that's in, it goes in behind it. These are like giant bass traps. And like I said, I'll have more images when I have a better shot. And then this is it all put back together. And of course the first movie I had to do. And again, I said, it's all blown out, but Star Wars. So I opened with that. That was my day today. That was my tweak. What's my next image after? But that's my tweak of the week. I had another one. I'll save that for next week. Because when we get to our HT experiences this week, I went through and I went through all my scenes that I want to experience. And I'll tell you right now, at the end of the show, well, we're going to wrap the show up with my breakdown of the SVS speakers, the scenes that I used and stuff like that. But I honestly am completely surprised at what I experienced, and I'm shopping for another C series so that I can AB these. They're apparently not available on Amazon right now, or if they are, it's like a really long wait. So I'm trying to figure out how to get another one, just so that I can, you know, I'll have more on it at the end of the show. We'll get through all our experiences, but it was a fun day. If we weren't doing the show today, it would have been even more fun, because I'd still be in there right now. Any questions, comments?
Nope.
Rather you than me.
Yeah.
It's the outside of my theater is an absolute disaster right now. There's a wet dry vac there. There is, to get it to back to this point here, was a hassle. It was, and it's like, you know, you just keep pushing stuff up. Like I was cutting stuff, hammering stuff. I'm sawzalling pieces out to make room for things, building new shelves, putting it in there. And this is the end product. It's very nice shelf, much easier to, this is all just right onto the front of the, stapled onto the front of the shelf for, I mean, like I said, sound absorption, but the way I designed the shelf and everything is better, so to easier accommodate other speakers if I need them. I can't even imagine what I would have done if I didn't already have the speakers sitting outside the room.
Right.
If I didn't already have the SVS speakers outside the room, I'd be a mess. I'd be, I can't experience anything, because Avatar dropped today. I am going to talk about that a little bit. Steve, you might be very happy about it.
Ooh, I hope so, because I've got reason to be not happy tonight about Avatar.
Okay, we'll talk about that in experiences. So getting this all back in, getting it all situated to the point that I can, sit down in my theater is good, but I still have a lot of cleaning to do outside, a lot of tools to put away, sawdust to pick up. That was my day in a nutshell. I did have another tweak. We'll do that next week.
You see, I think I know why this has happened, Deej.
Why?
I think I know why. You took Goonies' name in vain on the Takeover Tuesday this week.
That was like over 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but you broadcasted into the ether. Fate didn't hear that, and it's heard it now. And anyone that takes the Goonies' name in vain deserves everything coming to them.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I was gripping the steering wheel tight when that was going on.
Oh, really? So did you get to hear the whole conversation with Paul?
Yeah, I'm about 30 minutes left. So that's not bad on a 3.5-hour podcast that dropped today. I was typing away at court earlier, and then, but I was driving to a police station, and then I heard the Goonies isn't all that. And I was like, oh, right, let me at them. So talk about allow me to retort.
Yeah.
So as soon as I heard about the day, I thought, yeah, that's karma.
Look at. I knew Paul was in the chat.
Look behind you, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You upset the cinema gods.
Yeah. Nothing's happened yet. I know when he said it, I was like, I thought that was a great comment that he'd never seen it. So I can see how he feels that way. I mean, you don't have it doesn't age well. I didn't think when I saw the 4K release, I didn't think it aged. The movie itself doesn't age well, but that was our conversation.
Because Paul's older, isn't he, than you, and you're older than me, and I was the exact age in 86 when it came out. I was, to be fair, exactly as Paul said, I was 11 years old when that came out. To me, that film was fantastic, and I loved it in the theatres, and I've loved it the countless times I've seen it since. And I've seen it recently. It still holds up for me, but it does intrinsically link to my childhood and everything else. You're gonna love it whatever happens, but it's a classic, a stone cold classic, and I won't have a word said against it.
Well, too late, it already did.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, there you go, honestly.
So but that was a great conversation. Other than that, what did you think of it? Did you hear it at all, John?
I heard about an hour and a half of it, so I haven't even gotten to that part
Yeah.
Yeah, that Steve's talking about.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, John. Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
sorry.
Spoilers. It's all right.
Spoilers.
I myself have never seen The Goonies. So,
John, you are joking.
But I do own it in 4K.
We were 16, 17 years old when that came out.
Now I'm thinking, like Paul, that I may not enjoy it because
I'd be willing to bet. Yeah.
So, we'll see. Well, I mean, I'm going to get to it.
I get that if you are now re-watching it all these years later and you've never seen it, then yes, if you're looking at it through an adult lens, I suppose if you've never got it, you don't know it, if you know what I mean. You don't miss what you would have seen.
Right.
But anyone that was there when it came out and enjoyed it at that age, anyone early teens, that film was transformative. I mean, and again, Paul hit the nail on the head. We saw ourselves in those kids. You had these group of kids that would go on an adventure and just go out and you just go and do stuff on an afternoon. You'd go for a bike ride. You'd go out into the, into the nowhere and just enjoy the day and get up to all kinds of stuff. Obviously not with pirate ships and treasure and, all this sort of stuff, but in your head it was. I saw myself in that. All my friends, we were misfits like they were. And, it spoke to me, that film, and always does. It's a great movie. But fair play, other than, just be warned, say it's bad, bad things happen.
I'm not even going to let you know I watched it. I'm just going to suffer in silence.
Yeah, that's it. I've got fate on speed dial. I'm quite happy to give it a call.
Anyways. All right. I just realized I didn't even have my notes up yet. I had to pull everything out. Everything up here.
Paul is feverishly backtracking in chat.
Well, he even said, I remember he was even like, he knew how much people loved it and he was hesitant to even say it. I mean, I remember the looks on his face. He's like, I don't know, but yeah, great guy. It was amazing how much we have in common. Like, I mean, everything. It's like we got Huskies, we're building houses, we're having trouble designing the house, so we're doing it ourselves. just like every turn, and it's just, which lends me to think like we have the same mindset. Just like, all right, I got to get there. All right, just do it. It's like, okay. Let's see. We didn't get to. We didn't talk about donations, Patreon stuff yet. So this week we have a couple of. We have a new patron. He's an old patron, but he's a new patron. He's back. BJ Brad Horton is back. I think I even mentioned on the show a while back. He had some, he ran into some tough times and he had a drop off, but he always touched base. And so when I saw that he was back on Patreon, I was like, oh, thank you. That's awesome. I was more happy that he's comfortable. He's doing well enough that he can get back on. I'm excited for us, but I mean, it's like great for him. So I reached out to him to thank him. And then we had a little conversation back and forth and he's doing really, really well. Sounds to me like he has an even better job than he used to have. He's very busy, but he's very happy. He's doing well. Maybe some stuff to come for him too. He's actually thinking of starting his own podcast.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. And I was like,
stay
let's
in your
do
lane,
it.
Brad.
I was like, let's do it. Let's get on here. And he's like, can I pick your brain? I'm like, pick my brain, get on here. We'll promote it and we'll have fun with it. And I'm like, whatever you need to do, let's go. If you think you got the time.
Right.
But So I was happy to hear that.
Don't say that until you know what the title of the podcast is. If it's Trump 2024, you're going to be thinking, well.
I don't think so. Brad. Even if you are a Trump 2024, why would you do that to yourself? It's like in any world, right? It's like, I mean, to pick either side, you just alienated 50% of the population. Good job.
Yeah.
It's like, way to go. All right. Donations. We've got this guy named, John.
George.
George Brock.
George Steve
George with $15. Steve, I don't think you get how this works. You come to work for us, and then hopefully someday you get paid. But you don't, you're not supposed to pay, but well, yeah. John does pay too.
I was just saying, I'm a patron too. Well,
that, yeah. I know John's a patron. Yeah. You're donating.
Because I when you said last week about we need $7 and I thought, well, I'm not going to donate $7. That's just crazy.
Right.
And I thought, well, 15 seems like a round number. And also it's a test just to see if it worked. Cause of course I don't know whether it'll cross the seas as it were. But it was actually really simple, to be fair. It was really quick. So that bodes well. So yeah, it's something that I'll do. So I wanted to make sure that we went over that $7. And I know that John pitches in as well. So I didn't want to feel like the odd one out. So I will make it a bit more common, a bit more regular now, I think.
Oh, look at you. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. The boxes of popcorn, I had planned on talking a little bit about it this week, but I'll push that to next week as well. That might be coming up big time soon. I'm having some conversations with multiple people. Like I said, I'll talk about it next week. I also have this month's charity, Raising Money to Fight Childhood Cancer. That'll be going out. This is the end of the month. So Haymakers for Hope for Brian Curtis. That'll be going out for March. That's the March charity. And then the April charity, I've already been talking to her. It's Roseanne Sedoya. She's going to come on the podcast. She is a victim survivor of the Marathon bombing, which is the 10-year anniversary is coming up.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So we've got some pretty, the two of us were talking and she's like, I couldn't wait to say this on the show. I mean, it's not even April yet, but that's what I'd been planning this one for a long time, ever since I think it was like November when we were doing charities and I'm like, and I was thinking of doing something for Roseanne and then it hit me. I was like, holy crap, April is going to be the 10-year anniversary. So let's save it for then. So we've been talking and she was funny. She's like, she goes, how long do we talk? And I said, I go, what do you got? And she's a lot like me. She goes, we could talk for a while. And I was like, I know. I started telling her about people and then Todd and then the whole 24-hour one. And she starts laughing. And I'm like, I go, we're as difficult of a subject as it is, we're going to have fun. And we do. We already have. We've been on the phone and we're like just chatting away. So there is going to be some home theater in there, but I'm really excited for that. We're going to, her and I sitting down to talk and there might be a big surprise in there as well. So, but yeah, she's picking the charity. So that should be coming in the next week or so. I should be sitting down with her soon and then we'll record it and then it'll go out as a Takeover Tuesday. But that's going to be our April charity. So, looking forward to that. So, am I missing anything else before we move on to our next, segment?
No, I don't think so. Don't think so.
Anything else in the notes? Giveaways.
Okay. Yeah. Of course.
Yes. Let's do that. Let's do some give it. Cause we did get a few more in here. And no, you know, FBI hasn't shown up at my house, so we're good there.
Say no comment.
Yeah, no comment. No giveaway. I don't give it anyway. let's see. Did we get Captain Marvel? Did we give that away last week?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. And Mark did give another one away. Let me look at my emails right here quick. Because he did give one away. I just haven't had a second to put anything into my notes. I can't find it. It'll be in next week's. But yeah, so we have Captain Marvel to add in this week. Johnny Speakers took Puss in Boots. David Guzman got the Planet of the Apes.
He's already got it. He's already got Puss in Boots. What the hell?
Are you sure?
Yeah, did you say Shram, did you say, or Danny Speakers, sorry?
Johnny Speakers.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
sorry,
Shram already has it. Johnny Speakers.
I was going to say. Okay, I misheard.
Yeah. So, But yeah, and and I am looking at here. I don't know if that made it into the show notes because again, I've been busy. But you know how BJ Horton, he hadn't seen Maverick, and we talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. Well, we got another confession from Gurinder. I just remembered this. He hasn't seen it yet either, but he's in the middle of his theater build, so he's waiting. Like his theater is, he sits down and watches movies. Which is what BJ was doing as well. Like I always say, like if you're just building, just go and just sit down and enjoy it, even though it's not completely done. But this is the one that Gurinder wants when it's completely done. And he's like, I don't want to experience it without it being calibrated and everything. I want this to be right. And I'm like, all right, let's go. So I don't blame him at all, Gurinder. I don't blame you at all, buddy. And wow. The fortitude it takes to wait, because everybody's been talking about that for a while, and you may have a little trouble at the end of this podcast too. So, all right. what are we on to next? We ready for listener experiences, boys?
Yep.
All right. All right. What do we got? Each week I keep planning on adding these, like being able to add these in so people can see them. And I clearly ran out of time today.
What were you doing?
You know, what's funny getting back to that. It's like, you think of all the things that can happen for a reason. Like I have a set of speakers sitting outside of my theater ready to go. Who does that? But I am planning on, I'll talk about that later too, but it's also a rainy day. I planned on sitting down, relaxing, watching a movie, getting our show together. I can't go anywhere. My daughter's house is as complete as it needs to be for right now till Friday. So I really had nothing to do. Well, the home theater gods changed my mind.
Yep.
Like, oh, you thinking.
At least you didn't have to work today.
That's what I mean.
If it was like, a nice day, you wouldn't have anything.
I don't know what I would have called in sick.
Yeah.
Which stinks, because then it would have cost me even more, because I'd be like, I could be making money right now, and I'm not. Or if I am, I'm not happy about it. Anyways,
Do you have an awkward call? If you're self-employed and you call in sick, do you have that really awkward sort of conversation with yourself?
It's a tough call to make.
Hey, boss, I'm not feeling good today.
It is.
Are you really not well? Yeah, I'm really not well. Okay, all right then.
I often don't believe myself.
Yeah. Yeah, really good conversation in the mirror.
I can say I've never called in. I haven't, since I've been on my own anyway, I've never missed work because of an illness. I mean, the one time I got really sick with COVID, I was literally on vacation. Come on. I work outside, so if somebody needs something done and I have to get there, I just get there and do it, and then I'll just go back home and crawl in bed. So, you know. All right. Let's get going on these here. So I'm going to lead off. We are so, and this is why I wanted to have this graphic, but we are so lucky we are now being followed on YouTube by Steven Tyler.
Yay.
Is it the one and only?
I'm sure he doesn't want to miss a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I was trying to find one to come up with, but
come on.
You want to know? It's the only one I know.
Yeah. Dream on, Steve. Come on. all right. Who wants it? I saw that and I was like, this is so cool. Like, followed by Steve and Tyler. Hey, Steve. Let's see. I'm sure this Steven Tyler's never heard this before, right? Who wants to take the next one?
Yeah, I can take it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, go
on. PK Ham from last week's IP Man. It says, DJ, instead of the 24-hour marathon, I think you should look at a shorter version, probably 10 to 12 hours, one as it may bring in more participation. In my opinion, no point in stretching for a longer time just for the sake of it. After all, we enthusiasts care more about quality over quantity, right?
So I laughed so hard at this. I'm like, So instead of running a marathon, you just run a quick 5 miles. Right.
Run a couple of sprints.
It's like, no, the point is the 24-hour marathon. It's like Todd said, do you think you could talk for 24 hours? It's like, it's kind of, that is the goal. And then, yeah, could I do 10 or 12? Well, yeah, but I'm going to compact that 10 or 12. Here's the point. At the end of the 24, my goal is to be like, when you listen, I'm not going to be sitting here sleeping. It's going to be 24 hours. Todd and I have been working on this. We've done a lot of work on it so far in organizing things so that it is 24 hours of like conversations, of home theater conversations. You're going to have 24 one-hour podcasts to listen to. You're going to have, you know, whatever, 8 3-hour podcast to listen to, whatever you want to do, right? But as far as he goes, it may bring in more participation. Want to bet? If you cut it in half, you have half the participation, because now you're offering, especially where we've, and PK, you're over there in India, so you're going to have different hours than other people. So I'll have people, if they want to hear the whole thing, they'll click on it a whole bunch of times. If I half it, they'll only be able to click half as many times. So, but that's not what it's about. It's going to be about, you know, raising money for a charity. It's about, you know, just having fun with it. And PK, you probably don't know, but I mean, over here, we had many, many years, we had the Jerry Lewis Marathon. And he raised money for muscular dystrophy, right, John?
Yes.
He hosted it for 24 hours. And it was, you know, they'd have acts and bands and stuff, but it was at Labor Day weekend, I believe. That was a staple growing up. And it was like, you, as a kid, you'd go to bed watching him, and then you get up in the morning and he's sitting there and he's in his tuxedo and he's raising money for muscular dystrophy. And you were like, wow. And it, even as a little kid, my mom would like, you want to call up and you want to donate? And we would donate your paper route money or whatever. So it's stuff like that. So when Todd said that, you know, I was like, yeah, let's do it. So sorry, it's going to be quantity. It's up to you to judge of what the quality is.
Not really quality.
Yeah. Well, it's up to you to judge what the quality is. And let's see, you could take the second one as PK as well.
Oh, I was going to say, it's funny how Steve angled to be able to read this one, but I'll read it for him. It says, yeah. PK here, am in awe of how well Steve explains his views. Precise and clinical. No wonder he is a lawyer. It is a gift to express one's thoughts so fluently and yet entertainingly. Most of his movie judgments matches mine, and that's why I call him as Jason Steve of our small HT verse.
Yeah.
I don't get that part of it.
No, is he talking about Jason Statham or?
Yeah, Jason Statham.
Do you think so? I think that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I think that's it.
But it's very nice of him to say. I don't think my clients would necessarily agree about the clinical and precise bit, but no, it's very nice of him to say. More with a little embarrassed. I did reply to him and just said, now you're making me blush.
Steve, you're in the chat asking about Avatar from Nelson, and I told you I'm going to be telling you later in the show. You're spoiling our own show in the chat. Come on, guy, get with the program.
Well, don't answer in chat then.
Yeah, there is a reason, like, that I
what Nelson, are you don't doing? I looked down just for a second to see if anybody said anything interesting, and Steve's asking questions that I'm going to answer later, and I put out the tease already.
Jeez. I had a conversation with the editor of Empire earlier this evening, who's got it as well, and unfortunately what he said was concerning, so I'm desperate to know. Right, but anyway, all right, so yeah, apologies. Shall I do the next one then? Moving on.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Okay, let's cut me back down to size after PK's email and comments. Okay, so this is WV Brew on breaking up the show. So this is a tweet, isn't it? So it says, at Brightside HT, breaking up the show. I don't want the show broken up in less than 45 minutes to an hour segments, if at all. I hate 8-minute cast. I think it might mean chat.
Cast. No, cast. Podcast. Okay. Some people call them casts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fine. Yep. And then waiting for another short segment. Also, history on iPhone will be full quicker. A listening car phone remembers where left off. Longer, better. Okay, and then you've responded with all great points, and that's why we ask, and thank you for the input.
Yeah. Yeah, those are great points. As far as the history on the iPhone will be full quicker, I'm actually working on that as well. So because we're in the Nerdy Legion, we only have 25. That's all on us. When John and I were, we were with SoundCloud before, on our, when we were on our own before joining Nerdy Legion, everything can be there. I could have like the entire library. So I'm I tried to do that a while ago with Martin, who runs the Nerdy Legion. We talked about it and I never followed up. It didn't take or whatever. But there is a way to do it and I can have that. So I'm not 100% concerned with that issue because I can solve it. There's a few ways. But I do agree with you. It's like, that's one of the questions that I had. Would people be amenable to like the Monday podcast of just boom, putting out the 4K thing? So, 4K releases coming out, and that's usually going to be a 5 or 10 minute podcast. But the other ones would all be over an hour each. So that's why it kind of balances out. So I wasn't really sure. But we'll see. But yeah, this is the only, say, negative we got. We got a few people that think it's a great idea. They would love it. But it's, you know, most likely it's, I mean, the best part is nobody told us just to go away altogether.
Right.
Everybody's like, no, I want it all. I want it all at once, or I want it this way, whatever. All right. But nobody said, just go away, will you?
Shorten it to zero.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Let's see. Mark V saying, for Gemini Man and Halloween Ends Challenge. I like this one. I read about this one the other day. So it says, Steve, my horror home theater brother from across the pond. I hate Halloween Ends with every fiber of my soul. I swore that I wouldn't watch this movie again, even if it was free. So here goes my challenge. If you get and watch Gemini Man in 4K, 60 frames per second, then I will buy Halloween Ends. This will hurt me a lot more than you could imagine, LOL. I swore this movie would never come to my collection. Compare the frame rates on Gemini Man. You don't need to watch it twice. Just do the action scenes. I think the movie looks fake at 24 frames per second. At 60 frames per second, it looks a lot smoother and cleaner. I'm not sure if I'm alone in this department for visuals, but it might be different for you this time around. Gauntlet Throne. The only stipulation I ask is that I get to wait till Halloween Ends comes down to roughly the same price that Gemini Man is currently. My principles will not let me spend full price on a movie that I despise. Laughing faces. And then I have the same tweet underneath it again. But that, I thought that was a great challenge, Steve.
Yeah, I have accepted it. I have ordered it. And I had the email confirmation, which I tweeted out earlier, that says it's on its way. We'll see. I'll watch it. But what I said in my reply to Mark is, you know, he doesn't have to watch Halloween Ends again. I've suggested a couple of good horror films that he might want to watch instead. Although one of them was Malignant, so you can be the judge of that, fellas. We'll see. And I'll give it a go. I'd rather have watched the film in 24 frames per second and then just watch the action in 60, but that's not what I've been asked to do. So I will subject myself to it, and that is exactly how I feel about it.
Well, you said you'll keep an open mind and you'll try it.
I will do my best. I will do my best. I mean, I watched after this challenge, I watched the trailer, which is on YouTube, in 60 frames per second.
Oh, okay.
And just watching the trailer, it's all the same problems on every HFR thing I've seen. So I'm not hopeful, but I will be as open-minded as I can. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I'll give it a go. I'll give it a go.
All right. All right. That's sound. who wants to? Oh, this one here. You want to take John's? John, you want to take John's?
Yeah, this is, I guess, in reference to Gemini Man, right? That
yeah.
doesn't stay. Yeah. It's just from John. It says, I hope you enjoy it. I went in with low hopes and had a fun time. Please don't sentence me to at Brightside HT jail if you don't like it. Ha ha. And then Steve replied, I've seen bits of it and thought it was pretty poor. My main issue is that I hate HFR.
It's becoming a cool celebre.
Yeah, it is. We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. But I said, what I liked about it, I was like, what's, you know, Brightside jail?
Right.
Like, it's like, because we have two different segments of the population. You have the people that want the shorter shows and you have the people that want the longer shows. So like, it depends on who you are. But like, if you like the short shows, well, like, you're going to go in and listen for 10 hours straight. Right. Or like John, we have one listener that wants the longer shows, or he wants the shorter show, like a 2 hour show, because he can't break up the show. So he would hate 10 hours straight. Cause he's like, I can't do that. I can't. Yeah. Or no, you'd have to break it up for him. That's what would torture him. So
I think John Hafavali has misunderstood what I do for a living. I try and keep people out of jail. I try and send them to jail.
Right.
Yeah.
To varying degrees of success.
I have a feeling that if you like HFR though, you the degree you try to keep them out of jail is going to be less. Oh, you like HFR?
Yeah, he didn't know what that was.
Yeah, he did.
They thought it was some sort of new kind of recreational drug. They wouldn't have a clue what HFR was.
Oh, all right. Now, what are we up to? That's it. I know I had more experiences. I didn't get a chance to load them in, or comments. I'm sorry, from listeners. So, oh, here's a good one from Paul. Speaking of HFR, speaking of all that, it says when you shoot HFR, the effective shutter speed has to be shorter. So if they release a version at 24 frames per second, it might look a bit juddery because the shutter speed is now too short. Interesting.
I'm assuming though digitally all that can be straightened out though. I would be surprised if that's the case. Otherwise, they're not going to release it. They're not going to release it in both if one looks dramatically problematic next to the other. I wouldn't have thought. Surely digitally that can be changed. We'll see. I've no idea. I don't know. I will watch it and try to leave my brain, eyes, ears, and everything else at the door. And then it might be all right. So who knows? Who knows? We'll see. But it will be a new experience if I enjoy it. I'm not expecting. It's not like I haven't seen a film in HFR before. You know, I have. Yeah. I saw the Desolation of Smaug and it was bloody awful. And I've recently experienced them both side by side with switching with The Way of Water. Mm-hmm. So, and again, it was bloody awful. So I don't think a film from 2019 is going to change this at all, but I will give it a go. And, you know, it was £14. It's worth it just for the fun of the challenge, to be honest. What I should have done is donated that £14 to $14 or pounds to the boxes of popcorn, and so it's gone to a good use. In fact, perhaps that's what I'll do. If it's crap and I'm not going to put it in the collection, I'll sell it and then donate the money to a good cause.
There you go.
So there's the other option. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
All right. Another comment here. Since we're talking listener comments, might as well do some listener comments. Michael, hey guys, for the 24-hour marathon, I was wondering if you guys have thought about doing a home theater tour for people willing to donate money towards your charity. If you do mine, I'll donate $100. And that's a fantastic idea. Well, I might as well put it out now. That's kind of the direction we're going. It's going to be, I'm working on guests of like professionals, getting them in, getting companies. Todd's taking that angle of it. I'm going to be working on getting listeners, and we're going to fill it with interesting guests and stuff to come on, like Ralph Potts and Todd himself and Michael and Todd and Todd and Jeff and different people that I've had on, plus people I haven't had on, I'm trying to reach out to. But then I'm also going to try. My goal is to try and get to $2,400. So you can figure out $100 an hour. Okay. That's my goal for whatever charity. Todd has come up with a fantastic charity. This is going to build years in the future is my idea. We have a listener that's actually coincide like 2 days later. His name's Joe. I won't give the last name because we have a few Joes here, but he emailed me some information about something right after Todd and I came up with an idea. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is, like it's the exact same thing. So that's the direction we're going in. When we have all the details laid out, I'll be announcing that stuff. Paul is asking, if we have a date. Not yet. I wanted to do Star Wars Day in May, but it doesn't look like we're going to be able to pull everything together in that amount of time. It's going to be I could do it tomorrow. I'm not excited to do it, but we want to do this right. We want to get everything, because I got to get everybody booked in. I've got to get people to, you know, for different times. So, and then the logistics of the money and stuff, because my idea of $2,400 is like Todd and I were laughing because we're like, that might be just like a drop in the bucket. If you start, like, he has high hopes, and we're doing this in conjunction with AV Nirvana. This is going to be like Brightside Home Theater, AV Nirvana, 24-hour stream, 24-hour this. Yeah. And StreamYard is going to be instrumental in this because the things that I'm able to do here with that. So a lot of this is coming about. But yeah, the probably this summer, I would say, Paul, for the, you know, a date, but I'm not sure. There'll be plenty of notice for everybody. And of course it's streaming live, but it'll always be there. But I mean, you can always check in, and there'll be plenty of instances to do stuff like to talk to people. Let's see. Anybody see any other comments before we move on to 4K releases?
No, nothing that leaked out other than Nelson TZB with the Avatar thing, and he's declining to answer. So what
yeah,
the hell?
There you go. Hey, Vibe Installs, let's promote our merch. Hey, guys, yeah. I have been quite late.
Yeah, he says quiet. He fixed that later and says quiet. Yeah.
I've been quiet lately on the comment side, but still a faithful listener. Really enjoyed some of the last Takeover Tuesdays. Rocking the new merch I see. Still need to order mine. So, yeah, I wasn't able
to change.
For the
record, I'm the only one rocking the merch.
Yeah. You know what's funny is when we came on, it's like I saw you had it on. I didn't have time to change. I'm rocking my day, work stuff, day job. Yeah. My day job. And John actually changed his Twitter, because we it's in the show notes. If you want to reach John on Twitter now, it's at John Cicconi, right? Sorry.
Yeah, just my name. Yeah.
At John Cicconi on Twitter. Because
yeah, I can separate it from my business account, and you know, I don't want to post a lot of things from the store necessarily, and that way I can keep it, you know, keep things separate. So
keep
I'd
it
rather,
separate. So
rather everything to do with this show go through my personal Twitter. If you care at all about what I'm doing on Twitter, follow me there instead.
I know. So, look how far you've come, John, because you used to never do anything on Twitter. Now you're actually telling me, like, hey, I want to be more active. Can we use this one?
Well, it's not so much I want to be more active, but like I wanted to post that picture of the Ip Man thing the other day. But it's like, well, I don't want to post that to Arkham Comics. All my customers don't care what I'm watching on TV.
Right. That's true. Yeah,
that's kind of what sparked it. It was like, well, I'm going to post it over here instead on the very little used John Cicconi Twitter.
And he wants to tease me with pictures of very delicious looking Italian food.
Yeah, and I'm going to post my food experiments and things like that.
So there you go.
Anybody
you and
that
Adriano.
Cares about any of that, that's right.
Adriano, just, I'm like, if I lived within 20 miles of him, I'd probably put on 20 pounds.
I've said to him before, he needs to start franchising across the the UK. You know, some of those pizzas that he makes just look absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Yep. So it has been the Bright Side Chef's Minute. All right, let's get to, Okay, they're loaded up and ready to go. Thank God. All right, here we go. All righty. We ready?
Not to interrupt, but Steve, are you getting those? I'm not getting any of these videos this week.
Oh, yeah. No, I am. I am. Oh, yeah, I'm rocking out. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not for some reason. Keep saying your browser failed to load this video.
Oh. So, are you on Chrome?
Well, no, I'm hardwired in. I got them last week. I'm just not getting them today for some reason. But Chrome just did an update right before we started. Maybe relaunch. So maybe it's something's broken.
Okay.
We'll see.
Cool. All right. Let's start chipping away at these. So first up we have from 1941, the Maltese Falcon. That actually looks good. I think after Casablanca and Lawrence of Arabia and stuff, I think this will be a fun one.
Yeah, best picture winner.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Gotta be, isn't it?
What's that?
Best picture winner.
Is it? It might be. I don't remember.
I think so. It's one of those. Yeah, if you've got Casablanca, then you're going to have to get that, aren't you? I mean, it's just they get hand in glove. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So yeah. So looking forward to that. We also have Cool Hand Luke from 1967, Paul Newman, and there is also a I believe this is the Steelbook. I don't know. Which one do you think is?
I think the other one was the Steelbook. This looks like a. Yeah. I think that's probably the Steelbook.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's hard to tell, but the side, the spine on that looks like it's a cover. Yeah.
And this one doesn't have a spine on it. It's just like that was the image they do on Blu-ray.com. So
it's hard to tell.
But that's that. We have Midnight Run.
Oh man, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Great film.
Yeah. That's from Shout Factory from 1988. Yeah, this was one of those when we were kids. I haven't seen this probably since the 90s.
Oh, gosh, I watched it
last year.
Did you?
About a year ago.
It's a great film. I'll have to import that one. That won't come out here, so I'll import that. Yeah, it's great. Hopefully it's a decent remaster. Such a good film. It's a shame there were never sequels. There was all kinds of talk about sequels, and because it's a Martin Brest film, isn't it? It's a guy that did Beverly Hills Cop. And it's a shame that they just never got them off the ground, because there's all kinds of stuff they could have done with this. It's very, very good. A modern classic, I would say.
Yeah.
Modern classic.
Well, 88 is
that's modern. On the movie poster.
Yeah.
Modern classic, Steve G.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, underneath brackets, but I did like Malignant.
Right.
Full disclosure.
All right. Let's see. What do we got next? Oh, there it is. Star Trek, The Next Generation, the 4-movie collection is also coming out. And to go right along with that, we also have First Contact.
Which is part of that set.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm about to go through. First Contact. Oh, okay. Generations. We have Nemesis. Star Trek Insurrection. Surprised they didn't change the name on that already. And back to Cool Hand Luke. But yeah, so those are the ones that are coming out. All of those are coming out. All the Star Treks.
Presumably because the quality of that box set varies quite significantly. So if you just want to buy the good ones, you can just buy those.
Yeah.
Oh.
I say that.
What kind of completionists are you?
Oh, I'm not, because I haven't even started. I don't. I've got the J.J. Abrams Star Trek films, and that's it. I haven't got to complete it because I never started.
You're not much of a Star Trek fan, though, are you?
I've got a good reason for not being a Star Trek fan, and it's got nothing to do with Star Trek and everything to do with the fans. Because when I worked in a computer games kind of video store in the mid-90s, we would have people come in. We used to sell the Star Trek Next Gen video cassettes as well as everything else. and Babylon 5 and, you know, all that stuff. And they would come in and just annoy the hell out of me. And, you know, funnily enough, I mean, we talk about Kevin Smith and stuff. My best friend who we met whilst I was working in this store, he used to say, you're like Randall from Clerks. He said, you are just like that. You know, you just hate the customers and just get really annoyed at them. And it's because of this stuff that I did. So it's trauma.
So what are your favorite? Out of these Star Treks, which ones do you like, John?
Cool. Glad you asked that.
I think First Contact is, which is the first one, is probably the best of the bunch.
Are these not popular for Trekkies? I'm not a Star Trek person at all.
No, they should be very popular. I mean, I'm definitely looking for this set to pick this set up.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, these are, I mean, they're all decent. I mean, Insurrections, you know, they kind of go down in quality, unfortunately. Like, they start out better than they end.
I like the cover on this one.
Yeah. Like, Insurrection is probably the worst of the bunch for me. First Contact is definitely the, I think, the best.
So. I'd heard that Nemesis wasn't really that great either.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I'd heard, but I haven't seen it, but from what I understand. Yeah.
Hmm. They do have nice covers.
They actually
do. They really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They, like I said, it's Insurrection looked good. Nemesis, I like the green. That looks really good. It looks kind of like Species.
The cover for Species. Got a little alien vibe there. Generations, actually, I like quite a bit, too, because it's the mix of the old crew and the new crew. Mm-hmm. It's got a few problems, but ultimately it was fun because it brought the two crews together.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of the idea, I guess, right? So, yeah. All right. All right, that'll do it for that. And that's it for 4K releases for this week.
That's a pretty good list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear, talking about releases, by the way, guys, did you hear about the problems with All Quiet on the Western Front that came out or is coming out today?
No, I didn't hear any problems. There's apparently
a significant shortage, and loads of people that bought them on Amazon are having to wait, you know, days and days and days. Someone was saying on Twitter earlier, this isn't coming till well into next week. So, it looks like they underestimated just how popular.
Well, that's a good problem to have, I guess. Even though you're upsetting a few folks, but it's always great to have a lot more demand than you thought.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll mean by the time the UK one rolls around in like three weeks' time, Amazon will know it's going to be popular and they can get their hands on a few more.
By the time it's like $12.99, they'll have plenty in stock, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. let's see. What do we got? There we go. All right. We're ready to get to our experiences, and I can't wait to get to mine. Get this off my chest. No.
He's building to something. No.
All right. All right, John, you're going to get a little break. Did you see it that time?
No, I get the images. Like, I got all the slides.
Yeah, because you not see getting the screen. The video. Right.
For some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. Because that's part of the fun.
It is.
All right. You know what, guys? I'll fly by the seat of my pants here. John, you go first. Whichever one you would like to start out with, just let me know. I have them all loaded up here and ready to go.
I mean, I'll just go down my list in order. I mean, there's no reason to go any other way.
All right.
Yeah, so I'll start with John Wick 4. I went to go see it in the theaters. I won't put any spoilers out because I'm sure a lot of people haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Thoughts real quick on the movie itself. This is John Wick 4, so you should know pretty much what you're going to get at this point. The problem is when you start getting into the third and fourth installments of movies, like, there's a need, I think, to continue to ramp up the action to a point where it borders on the almost absurd at certain points of this movie. You know, I mean, and not that they were ever believable from the very beginning, but like, they just keep ramping up the level of of action in just some pretty crazy degrees here.
I was going to say the level of absurdity.
Absurdity. yeah. And it is about 30 minutes too long. Like this clocks in at just under 3 hours. It's like 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And again, like you could only see people getting punched in the face so many times for so long before you do start to check out a little bit. So like it really, in my opinion, should have shaved about 30 minutes off of the total runtime here. All that being said, like this will be reference quality from minute one to minute 180 when you get it in your home theater. Like it is just like, you know, from bell to bell, like it just goes very nice. Little downtime. And even in the theaters, I mean, it starts with some bass that is going to hit very hard, you know, when you have it at home. This is going to be a great experience. And I mean, I loved the hell out of it. Like I had a great time with it, but like it does just start getting to the level where like, I don't know where you're going to, like, where can you go from here? Like there's just so much stuff that happens that is like, even I am like just rolling my eyes at certain points, like, come on, man, give me a break. but super fun. You know, it has a pretty good story to it overall, but like I said, it does drag a bit in some of these scenes because it just goes for a long time with some of these fight sequences. But yeah, this is going to be great at home. I can't wait to have it. So
yeah, that's I haven't been able to see it. I haven't been able to get out anywhere to the movies to do anything. And I bought it. I bought it.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
I texted John and I was like, I texted him a picture. I'm like, I think this might be the first movie that I pre-purchased and I haven't seen it yet. And
what did I tell you? Of all the John Wicks out there, this is the John Wickiest.
Yes, so. The John Wickiest. But the first thing you said is this is going to be amazing at home.
It's going to be amazing, and the color, like the not just the audio, but the visual, the video is going to be amazing. Like the HFR, I mean the HDR. Is going to be fantastic.
HFR. Don't say the
HFR. Yeah, I was going to say the HFR. Steve's like, don't I'm out. Now, guys. I'm not even going to see it.
You know I'm not well, don't you? What's going on?
but yeah, just the color palette and the visual. Like, this is going to be amazing. So
Right.
Can't wait to have it.
Yeah. I mean, even this image that I grabbed
offline, amazing.
It's a beautiful picture. You know, the colors, the way, you know, the neon and stuff. But yeah, really looking forward to it. But I don't know. Is it me or is it like the in the theater experience right now has gotten to the point that I'm not even upset. Like I'm not upset that I can't get there. I'm like, all right, well, when it comes out, I'll just see it at home. And I owe that to the in theater experience. Like it's usually just a preview, like what John's saying, like, oh, this will be good at home. It was pretty good in the theater, but I can't wait to get it at home. So, that's why I'm not like killing myself to try and get there where years ago I would have been like, just like what I did today. If it wasn't raining, I would have taken today off to fix my theater. Right. If you know, years ago I would have taken I got to get in and see this. I'll just wait.
I mean, so. It was definitely fun in the theater, you know, it's opening day. There was, you know, pretty good crowd. So, I mean, it was fun. But yeah, like all I could think, all you could think while watching it is like, oh man, I can't wait till I can watch this at home because it's going to be great.
You know? Right.
Plus it's 3 hours long, so I can pause it in the middle and get up and go to the restroom. So.
Right. But that's a great point you bring up too. It's like, there was no shot of me seeing it on opening day. Right. So once I miss that, that's pretty much the main reason I'm there is for the big crowd. For opening day and be able to see these. And if you don't, by the time I get to see it, it'll be like sitting in my theater at home. It's like an empty theater and you're just there to see the movie. And it's like, so, and then that experience isn't as good as what I get at home. So it's really just the opening day experience that I'm looking for. And once I miss that, I can't get it back. So
you know, for me, it's a lot of spoiler stuff. Like I go opening day on big movies because, you know, I'm in a comic book store. So, you know, these guys see these movies and want to come in and talk about them. And, you know, I mean, there's a spoiler here too in this movie. So if you're not going to see it right away, you definitely want to stay away from things that are going to spoil for you. But I can't stay out of my job though. You know what I mean? Like I can avoid the internet to a certain degree, but I mean, I can't avoid my store, which is two doors down from a movie theater. You know, even, you know, people come in, even if they're not talking to me, they're talking about, oh, I just saw this, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's like impossible for me to avoid that talk. And so I just go see it. And you know,
yep.
Yeah, the first three 4K discs which I've got with these are all excellent.
Oh yeah,
and they get better. And funny enough, the first one, the fight at the end between the sort of the bad guy and John Wick in the rain, is on a Dolby Digital demo, a Dolby Atmos demo disc that I've got. Mm. So even Dolby hold that up in terms of its sound mix, and that was the first one. And each one has got better than the one before. Some of the HDR in John Wick 3 with the fight in the sort of glass building at the end.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Incredible. Yeah, it's gorgeous stuff. So this, it can only look great. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. And a bit like you, DJ, I've been kind of thinking, well, I do really want to see it, but then I'm thinking, well, if it's a 3-hour film, near as damn it, you add your trailers and you add your adverts onto the front of that, and it's a whole afternoon.
Yeah, it's like 4 hours. Yeah, it's almost 4 hours.
Yeah, which is a long time to go and see. And it's, so it's like, yeah, do you know what? I probably will wait. But I'm looking forward to it. That's for sure.
So
bring it on.
Yeah. And we got a comment here from Paul. Little shout for Simon Brew's Film Stories podcast, where he has just covered the production story behind the first John Wick movie. So that's pretty interesting. I'm hoping for next week. One of the movies I was going to watch today was John Wick 3 because I mean, I'm jonesing for John Wick. I can't get to the theater and I was going to watch that today. And you know, oh well, but yeah, so hopefully for next week, maybe, but all right. Steve, what do you got coming up here?
I was going to talk Mandalorian episode 4 is top of my list. You've seen that as well, haven't you, Deej? I think.
Oh yeah. Couple of times now.
Oh, because you said that you've seen episode 5 in the notes. So
I didn't know it was my bad. I didn't know what we were on.
So I was thinking, blimey, how's he doing that? That's clever. There we go. Okay. Let's talk the episode first. Let's go spoiler free because it's not flop. Other than the bit in the middle that is the very cool bit that has been all over Twitter, but I'm not going to spoil it. Mm-hmm. So there's a 5-6 minute bit in the middle where it's very cool. And I liked that bit and I thought it was good. And we've gone back. Otherwise, I thought this episode was rubbish. And I was really, really just thinking, has this show for me just jumped to the, well, I was going to say jump the shark, but jump has it shark. Just jumped the Ray Harryhausen dragon? Because it may have done. I was very, 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 very disappointed with this. The opening stuff makes no sense. The sort of ending stuff is boring. The effects were poor for me. And none of it made sense. I couldn't understand why they were doing what they were doing. I was very, very disappointed with this episode. And that's on the back of a number of quite weak episodes. Other than the middle bit, which was good and good to see, I'm struggling with this series, and this season, should I say, of this series. Beginning to lose the faith, I'm sorry to say. And this is from someone who really liked season 1, really liked season 2, really liked Book of Boba Fett, liked Obi-Wan, you know, all that stuff. But this one I am not on board with. And if it carries on like this, I'll just be straight bored. I don't know. Tell me what you thought, guys. You tell me what you think. Tell me why I'm wrong.
No, I don't disagree. Like, I'm struggling with this season as well. Like you said, they sprinkle in some, you know, some cool moments. Mm. But, you know, overall, this season has been very weak. You know, I don't like the way they're treating Bo-Katan's character very much. Although, you know, I guess she's coming along, but like her portrayal kind of when we first meet her, you know, she's like kind of a whiny, just sitting around like, woe is me, but I'm not going to get out of my throne room chair to do anything right. about it, you know? And yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what we're doing this season. I don't know what the point of this season is either. Mm. Like, we're four episodes in. I don't even know what we're doing.
Or five.
Or five if you're DJ.
DJ's well ahead.
Right. You know, we spent a bunch of time on Coruscant the week before that, you know, hopefully will pay off somewhere down the line. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not having a great time with this season either.
No, but so. This one just kind of shook me with the effects. I mean, don't get me wrong. Again, I mean, Scruff Kingman is talking to it on the chat about, you know, I mentioned Ray Harryhausen, obviously,
right,
Clash of the Titans and Voyage of Sinbad and all those sorts of movies. And that I loved great. Those as a kid.
That was great then.
Yeah, don't get me. Yeah, as a kid, I loved those films. Right. I mean, you know, the stop motion was great. But then this dragon thing, and I don't think that's a spoiler too much, looks like it's straight out of Harryhausen. Talk about jerky movement, Paul. I mean, you know, this thing kind of looked like it was stop motion.
The young ones were worse. The chicks.
Yeah, quite. Yeah, they did. Yeah, indeed. And it just, I just was like, what on earth? And I was watching it with someone who, again, obviously, you know, within the parameters of what I do and don't talk about on here. But I was watching it with someone who generally likes this stuff and has spent two episodes now just going, yeah, but why? And yeah, but what's going on? And but I don't understand. And on this particular occasion, he, you know, he went and did something else, you know, just completely tuned out. And that is not something that I would have expected, you know, without, you know, real good cause for it. What did you think, Deej? You've been very quiet. Come on, mate. What did you think, buddy?
I agree with you, but I'm not frustrated. I'm not disappointed. I love the character of the Mandalorian, right? Mm. Like I'm enjoying following along what his experiences with Grogu, just dealing with. I get what you're saying, and I agree with you. There's no point to the season yet. And I'm not frustrated. Part of me is wondering maybe that's their point this year. I don't know. Maybe instead of going in a direction of, well, we're used to like these series, we're used to all of these series having an arc, right? Mm-hmm. But not all television has always had that. Some television has just been like each week is separate from the last. And it's just, it's a story of these people. I don't know. I have no, because doesn't that kind of feel how this season is? But
TV, like episodic TV like that, each episode is very self-contained with a beginning, middle, and end story that is complete. This doesn't seem to be that. You know what I mean?
I think this season does have that. It's like you every single episode I could tell you the beginning, middle, and end. And it's just, but our feeling is we want it to be all cohesive, and I'm agreeing with you. I'm just seeing that side of it go. I'm just looking at it from this perspective. I'm not saying it's a positive or not. I'm just enjoying the characters. I like what they're doing with Bo-Katan. I like how they're taking her. They're basically taking. Yeah. See, I really don't want to give anything away, but I like. They're kind of making it, showing you how you can be a Mandalorian, even though you're maybe, you know, you're like taking a faith and rejuvenating your faith or whatever you want to do. But that's the Bo-Katan story to me. Who knows where it's going, though? I don't know, because there's no purpose yet, but it could all come together. I don't know. It does feel... It feels like we put the season on shuffle, right? listening to an audio book on CD and she hit shuffle and she didn't understand what was going on. I think that's how we feel right now.
I think that's right. It's like a dog in a field full of squirrels. You know, it's a squirrel over there. No, I'm going to go over here. Do you know what? I think I'll go there. I'm going to, you know, it is odd. But then that, again, and I know you don't like it when I talk about storytelling, Deej, but isn't all dramatic storytelling? Is that a problem then with the dramatic storytelling that we feel this way? Should we not be feeling, well, okay, because you can tell, you can do both. You can tell a self-contained story
right.
and have a little tease that gives an arc going. Yeah. I mean, that's what the Marvel movies did in phase one, two, three. You know, you can have a self-contained story, but also then have a little tease which feeds through it and a thread that connects them all.
Right.
But is it not a potential failure then with the storytelling? If you
only to you,
leaving people to wonder.
Not only to you, but to people like yourself, you're going to see that as a failure. But it's like, but what if you sat down with, like, you know, Jon Favreau or Dave Filoni, and they went and you described everything you just said, and they're like, yeah, that's our point. We're trying to break away from a little bit of that. Maybe you don't like it, you know? And sometimes, like, and I've said this to people about anything, you know, but like, you might not like my answer, but I have a reason I'm doing what I'm doing.
And
I have to think they are too. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm not saying you're wrong in your opinion. But they have the right to their opinion as well to, like, I'm going to make it this way. And it's like, there's more than one way to do something, especially when it comes to anything like art. You know, it's like, and Star Wars is the most famous for people, for the fans being like, you didn't do it the way I wanted it. Then go make your own, you know? So it's, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you.
But I guess the thing is, do you change the established format of a show in season three? Like,
well, didn't they do that with Boba Fett?
Well, that was a different show, though.
Right.
That wasn't the show. But what I'm saying is, like, do you break the mold? Like, The Mandalorian has already established what kind of show it is through seasons one and season two. So now, all of a sudden, if you're going to come into season three and tell nine standalone stories, like, do you make that change to a show this late in the game? Like, why would you do that? Because then you alienate the people that were on board for the first two seasons of your show. So maybe that is what they're doing, but why would you do that?
Right. And it's like, so I look at it, not that you're going to pick up new people, but you could pick up new people. There's a million reasons why people do these things.
Maybe,
it's
like, but who jumps in season three realistically?
Older kids. I don't know. I don't know. But that's the point. Try something. You don't like it. I'm just trying to give you the other side of it from their perspective. The maybe they have a reason. Not even the bright side. It's just I'm not saying it's great. It's not. It's my least favorite of the season. I'm agreeing with you, but my point is, like, they also have the right to do it. And if we know nothing else, but I'm not saying, like, I'm not trying to stick up for them, but I'm also saying, like, one thing I do know, or I trust in them, is, like, say this season flops, I think four would be better, because they do listen to the fans. They do, you know, they do listen to the feedback. They do listen. I mean, Star Wars, Filoni and Favreau are huge fans themselves. That's how they got to be where they are with this. And we've been huge fans of some of the stuff they've done, just characters and pulling things out and pulling strings that were like, oh my God, how did we not think of that? And they did it, right? So that's why I do have a little more faith, and I'm just enjoying it. It's like, not everything has to be the same, and I'm just having fun with it. It's not it's not as fun as the original was season. It's not as fun as two. Two ended on a huge high. That's the other thing. I felt like two wasn't as good as one, but then two ends and you're like, oh my God, it's the best one ever. You know? So I don't know. Let's see where this goes. We're only at, what are we, halfway through now? Is it four?
You are, apparently. You've seen episode five.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it is 10?
I think I'm 10, not sure. It? I don't know. Let's have
a look. I'll tell you.
Yeah. Okay.
They normally are, aren't they? I'd be very surprised if they're not.
Well, a lot
I'm aware of your take of Tuesday thing about us moving away from our microphones.
Oh, you got that, huh? Yes. Oh, yeah. Paul brought it up, and I was like, yep. I'm like, yep.
Let's have a look. Right, Mandalorian. Right. This is what Disney Plus is.
Steve's taking notes on Takeover Tuesday shows now.
Yeah, I know.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, it's not saying it is just literally 1-4. No, I thought it would have said all the ones, but.
I think eight. Well, because here's the thing, right? This wasn't chapter 20, right? Of and it was episode four, which would lead you to believe there were eight episode seasons prior to that.
I could have swore they were 10 episode guide. Here we go. So season 3, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, there are 8. Yeah, you're right. There are 8. Yeah.
Okay. So up we're to halfway the 19th through.
Yeah.
Right. So by halfway through, we should know where we're going.
It's just disappointing that I'm not looking forward to seeing the next one. That's the thing. And it's a surprise for me because I love Star Wars. How much I might dislike Star Trek, I love Star Wars. And yeah. So that's going to be a constant refrain now. Sorry, guys. I thought I'd hidden my light under a bushel for a while, but right. Now it's coming out. So I really like it. And it's telling for me that I'm not just like, oh my God, what time does it drop on tomorrow morning? Oh, it's going to be 8 a.m. Right. Okay. I'll be there for that. You know, it's interesting that it's just not that. So really, really, I don't know. I'm concerned. I am worried about it. And I'd have thought by now we would know what was going on with it. And my fear is that that's because of, for whatever reason, it's just not gelling. But there we go. Never mind.
All right. That was great. I mean, right. I'm in every week. I don't mind having these conversations. I think home theater wise, which is what the podcast is about. I think I think it's a great home theater experience each week. I mean, the production quality is really good. You said you didn't like some of the special effects, Steve?
Not on the dragon thing. Well, there's a couple of things. One, the dragon looked like it was Ray Harryhausen stop motion. And quite poorly designed, but also there is a shot where you've got the Mandalorians flying with their jetpacks.
Yeah.
And it looked as though the background was moving completely in a different direction to the way they were flying. It reminded me of Superman, the movie. It meant, you know, it's kind of, again, sorry to go back to the old school references, but like the foreground characters were moving differently to the background and it looked fake as anything. And so again, that was like, well, are we playing with this now? Is this an homage? Is this the filmmakers wanted to have a bit of fun with it and kind of use old school techniques? I don't know. But what I did know is it was jarring and married for me to a very weak story. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm in as well. I mean, I'm not going to not watch this stuff.
Right.
But you know, I'm moving towards this. At what point do I decide not to watch it? I've not got there yet, but you know, I'm putting them on notice when they listen to this.
There you go. All right. Let's see. Let me pull that down. All right. I don't have my notes up. Who wants, John?
You've got Dragon Slayer. You're doing Dragon Slayer, Deej?
I said those are all next week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I moved those all to next week because we're going to end with my.
I'm sorry. They're still on my notes. Sorry, mate.
Yeah. No, oh, I know. They're still there because I'll forget.
Spoiler alert, everyone.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. I'm not feeling great tonight. I'm off my game tonight.
No, that's all good.
Thumping headache, and I'm not.
We're nothing there, if so not sorry. Unprofessional. That's our goal here. Just have fun. We're here to have fun, Steve. That's all. Cool. Don't worry.
Works
about
for
it.
Me. All right.
Good, yeah. What's this, Paul? Paul's saying there is an argument that you can't judge sci-fi fantasy by the standards of other dramas. I can't say I understand why we shouldn't. The Last of Us hopefully proved you can do both. Great point. All right, John, what did you were going with the next one?
I'll go real quick because I know, again, we're running very, very short on time for Steve, like 10 minutes, right? So
really? I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Sorry.
Yeah, we have 10 minutes. So, so South Park, real quick. I watched this on Netflix. The reason why I watched this is because, Steve, you talked about it a few weeks ago.
What did you think?
I couldn't remember if I had ever seen it. I was sure that I had, but I couldn't remember it. So I watched this on Netflix. I had seen it, but only once and a while ago. So I really, really enjoyed it. It's a great movie. You know, it was okay on Netflix. You know, it definitely wasn't as good as what you found, I'm sure, on the Blu-ray. But you know, still looked really good. Still had some really good bass. Some of the punches hit pretty hard. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it, and I was glad that I watched it again because I had forgotten how good this, how good the movie was. I really, really liked it a lot. So,
did you buy it, Deej, on Kaleidoscape? I think you'd said, well, we were talking about it before, you were gonna pick it up. Did you not have a chance to circle around to the ship?
I haven't seen it, but I do have it. I did grab it. I just haven't been able to see it. I haven't had a chance to see it.
It is really good. For anyone watching or listening and that might have missed our earlier episode, and I'm really glad, John, that you enjoyed it as well, because it is a film I think that's largely been forgotten. I wonder if with the Roadhouse remake coming out, Jake Gyllenhaal is in that, and that's obviously with MMA and everything else.
Right.
I wonder whether this will have a bit of a resurgence and people will remember, look, he's done this before. But I hope so. It is a good film. And again, the Blu-ray in particular is very, very nice indeed, both audio and video. So, but if it's good on Netflix, people can try it out, see what they like.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okie dokie.
Nice. All right. Give me 2 seconds here. All right. Gotta take that down. Take this down. All right. Steve, you want to do one quick?
Okay. Yeah, I'll do another quick one. I'll do Luther. Because this is me repaying John's favor for watching Southpaw.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what you thought.
Okay, so we enjoyed this a lot, and I agree 100%, John, with what you said last week about, one, you don't have to have seen the series, and because I don't think you do, although I think it helps, but you don't have to have seen that at all.
Right.
We had a lot of fun with it. It's bonkers. It doesn't make a lick of sense. None of it makes sense. This whole thing falls apart so quickly. Oh, and the other problem was, for about the first 20 minutes, I think because it's Luther, I had forgotten how much I have issues with, of course, English legal dramas.
Oh,
and of course,
yeah,
it starts with this trial, kind of.
Right.
Arrest, trial, going to prison.
Kangaroo court.
Yeah. And I'm just immediately going, well, that's not right. That's not right. Well, why would he be in there? That's not right. Oh, no. And I was irritating myself pretty quickly. But luckily, it moves on from that very quickly, and then it just becomes what it always was. So, I had a great time with it, and I do recommend it, absolutely. And I, again, as I was watching, I was thinking, yeah, John was spot on with that. I think it looks and sounds very nice indeed for Netflix. It's very slick looking. The HDR is great. The color saturation is brilliant. Everything look, it makes London look sexy, and Paul will know London is not sexy. Okay. And yet it makes it look really kind of, dangerous and cool and all the rest of it. Right. So that was really good. And also the audio was great as well. There's, some really decent kind of, audio cues and bits and pieces. The one thing I did find funny about the story though, again, is which was just a sort of what the heck moment. Again, it's not a spoiler because it's a 2 second bit. The armed response officer, obviously, you guys know here the police are not routinely armed. Okay, so we have specialist units that have guns. The armed response officer who approaches the bad guy who's on his back and puts the gun right onto his chest just so the bad guy can grab the gun. Why you'd need to do that, I do not know. But anyway, that's a police procedural issue. So, it's great fun. Really, really nice and highly recommended. But just don't read too much into it. Because it is all nonsense, but in a fun way. Oh, and then the last thing being, wherever it was they are in Norway, the cell service there is fantastic. Because apparently you can even get cell service at the bottom of a lake.
Right. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, that place is cool. Wherever that place is, that's great.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very fun. Really enjoyable films. Come out of nowhere. And again, I'm with you. This is how I want to see Luther.
Yeah, and I think that, like I said,
you're saying Luther.
This could go on indefinitely. Could make any number of these movies, because they set it up to where they could just keep doing this.
Yeah.
So hopefully they do.
Oh, and the one other thing, John, tell me that now. Again, we won't spoil it, but just how do we do it without spoiling it? Because I want your view on this. Okay, so. At the end, without saying how the drama resolves, because that doesn't matter. So that's right. Spoiler free. So at the end, conversation with that person in those cars.
Right.
How cool would it have been if that had been MI5 and that was Q?
Oh, yeah. That would have been awesome.
I didn't come up with that. The person I watched it with did. And I'm like,
oh, really?
Your version better.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that movie. Yeah, that would have been great.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Especially with all the talk about him as the next Bond.
Exactly.
How awesome would that have been? So anyway, there we go. Yeah, very good. Definitely recommended.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. I have it. I obviously I have it. It's on Netflix, but I actually started it this week. I was like, I just wanted to see like what it sounded like. I was testing some stuff out and I was like, ooh, let me check this out. And I added it to my queue and I was like, oh, all right. Yeah. And it did. The opening was really good. I'm like, so looking forward to it. You know, if I had the time, that was going to be on my list as well this week.
I mean, Serkis is great at it. I mean, he's ridiculous. He's really good, scene chewing like you would not believe, but and his hair is absolutely ludicrous.
I'd say hairpiece or stylist.
Both. So he's swinging for the fences on that. I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing, but he's fun in a stupid kind of way. But yeah, it's well worth seeing.
A bit menacing too. Cool. Like some of the things he does are pretty.
The mask, the cool, you know, the video mask thing's quite clever. They'll be everywhere here come Halloween.
Oh yeah.
All right, John, you got a next one?
Yeah, just Ip Man, which Steve has as well, right?
So, oh yeah,
Ip Man 2.
So Ip Man 2, right? So there we go. Following up on Ip Man from a couple weeks ago, I picked up Ip Man 2. Loved it. Now I'm not sure if maybe I paid a little bit more attention this time because, you know, I didn't have glowing things to say about the home theater experience about the first one. But yeah, this one, there's some bass that just permeates throughout this movie that hits all the time. I thought this was a little bit crisper in the image quality. It didn't quite have the same old film look that the first one did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, although it did still look definitely was a period, you know, looked like a period piece, but I thought the home theater part of this was fantastic. This is very Rocky IV.
yes.
Very
Rocky IV.
Yes. it was like, man, all the way into the throwing in the towels. It was very Rocky IV, but yes, a great story. Great. Again, the choreography and the martial arts are fantastic here, and I had a great time with it. So
it does make you want to just start fighting a wooden man.
Yeah, right.
But they all do that. This is great. Now this is where the Ip Man moves. The first one's is a martial arts epic, I think, and this one is where they find their groove, because 2, 3, and 4 are similar in terms of how they do things. And obviously, this is set during the 1950s, so it's got to have a certain palette anyway. And so that's why it looks how it does. But I think this movie is where they hit their formula and hit their groove. And so it's a really, really good movie, really solid film. And I agree that the home theater experience is as good, if not better than the first one. I think, you know, you've got, it is crisper. Definitely. I think in terms of the audio and the video, actually both, because I think the bass is more controlled in this. It's powerful when it needs to be. It's not. Whereas with the first one, from almost the opening kind of drum beats and stuff, it's actually really strong. But this, I think, is more taut. I think that this is because they had a bigger budget with the second one, and it was shot digitally and it's been, you know, done in a different way. So you can certainly tell that, but it's not to its detriment. It only helps it. It doesn't make it worse. I've got a few timestamps actually, guys, as well, just because I was going through it. So the first one I've got is 15 minutes where there's some ambient Dolby Atmos noises. So this isn't explosions and fights, loads of those to come. But there's some ambient noises. You've got Ip Man talking to someone who refers to as his uncle in a kind of ramshackle rundown place. And as they're talking, you can hear dogs barking in all the different speakers. They're, and it's only every now and then, and then they go, and then another one goes, and then right in the far left corner one will go, and then down in the front right, and it's this really sort of subtle kind of noise. And whilst that's going on, you can then hear kind of the wind moving as well, and that sort of, which is really evocative, I thought that was really, really good. Nice. Then you get the first big fight then at 22 minutes, which I've labeled is Fish Market Fracas. You know, French in a Chinese movie. That's a really great scene. Again, lots of oomps and whacks and punches and kicks and everything else. And again, the audio, and you've got lots of people running all around the room and stuff. So that all moves really well. So I really like that. But the bass properly kicks in once you get the boxing matches. Yes. So you've got the 1 hour, 5 minutes, you've got the first kind of Chinese boxing Apollo Creed moment. And that's, you know, nice and beefy and I would say punchy, but, you know, it's a terrible pun. So that's very, very
I
cool.
used it, but, you know.
Yeah.
That shows our intellect levels.
I'm learning from the grandmaster. Yeah. and then the last one I've got then was it, well, sorry, no, I've got two more. I've got one at 1 hour 24, which is a training montage. Not two, There's No Easy Way Out, which I think's a shame. But I think they missed a trick there. But you get this, what I really liked about this training montage isn't so much the audio, although that's good, but somehow the echoey wax of the wooden man in these films in particular have a life of their own. But in this particular moment at 1 hour 24, the HDR is what leapt out at me here. You've got Ip Man with a white kind of tunic on against a black backdrop with the grain of the wooden man as he's training. And you can see the different dust motes in the air whilst he's doing it, and that looked absolutely stunning. It was really, really nice. Something that a non-HDR source would just kind of ruin. You're just not going to get that, but it's almost glowing, and I really, really like that. And then lastly, the final fight at 1 hour 28, where it all kicks off, is really, really good as well. Again, very basic. You can feel those punches, and you're thinking, oh, you know, how you get the you can feel them as well as sort of see them. So yeah, I think it's great. And I know, cause of course I've seen them before, there's even better to come. Yeah. So
I'll be picking up three next, and then
good man. Three, are we going to do this each week? Are we going to do this each time?
Well, I haven't picked up three yet. So I'll let you know when I have it. So we can link up.
What about you, Deej? Did you get a chance to check this out?
No, well, not that one. I haven't had a chance, but let me get to Paul's question first, because it actually, Steve, you can answer it, but can someone explain, is there a difference between the discs in the Ip Man box set and the recent individual movie releases? Any reason to not buy the box set?
The price.
Well, Paul is a savvy shopper, as we know from the Takeover Tuesday. Yeah, he's in your mold, John. I don't believe, and Paul, you correct me if I'm wrong, because you will know from over here like I do, I don't believe they're available in a box set here. Certainly the set that I've got, the 4K Atmos set, is the one in the gold leaf box, the black kind of box. And I had to import that from the States, and so it's not available here. If there is a box set here for the 4K disc, I'll be very, very surprised. But yes, John's the one who said last week, you know,
it's out of print now. I looked into it after I watched the first movie, and it was close to $200 for the box set everywhere.
That's crazy.
You could find it, which is pretty much just eBay and like Amazon Marketplace and those things. Whereas, you know, you can buy the four discs for $60.
Yeah. I'm not aware that there's any difference. I don't believe there are discs multiple 4K versions out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It almost certainly. Did you notice, John? I mean, I put up a picture on Twitter of the disc itself. Is it the same thing like the black disc with just a 2 written on it and Ip Man?
Because I put up my picture too. I think they're the same.
Yeah. So there we go. It's literally just the box. And I don't recall there being any extra special discs in the box set. It's just
There's not even there's no digital codes here. There's there is a Blu-ray, but there's no special features really or anything to speak of. So
It's very, very cool though. They are such good films. I'm really glad you guys are experiencing them, and we get to experience them. I get to experience it with you guys again for the first time. So that's great. I mean, I love these movies. I've seen them so many times. It's very, very cool. So yeah.
And Donnie Yen is in John Wick 4. So.
Well, he's finally getting, I'm hoping, his due, because the poor guy, you know, he's been crapped on by Hollywood multiple times. He's in Blade 2 for 2 seconds, and he dies off screen. You know, you have Donnie Yen in your film.
Right.
And then you kill him off screen. And then you say to him, "It's all right, Donnie. Don't worry, mate. We're going to put you in Star Wars, mate. You're going to love it." Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. You're going to be like a Jedi cleric. Oh, am I? Yeah. Okay, good. What do I get? A lightsaber? No, don't be stupid. Right. Okay. Do I use the Force? No. You've got a stick, and you say, "I'm one with the Force, and the Force is with me." And then you whack a stormtrooper over the head. Might as well be a baseball bat.
Yeah, he's like a Three Stooges version of Inspector Gadget. You know, like, it's kind of funny. I mean, he's good. I mean, I love his character in Rogue One, but you're right.
Sure, yeah, it's M-way.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah. Well, spoiler free, he's got a very nice part in John Wick 4. So
yeah, thanks. I have seen some. I've got a screener of John Wick 4, but I watched little bits of it because I wanted to see the Scott Adkins bit. And also, I know that he's this, you know, the blind kind of assassin, as it were. But yeah, he's been crapped on by Hollywood. So if he's now going to get his due, and I noticed there's some sort of groundswell already suggesting Oscar noms for this kind of stuff. You know, obviously it's a bit early yet, but there's a lot of talk about it. So if this now means he will finally get his Western due, then that's a great thing. Because the guy, right. I mean, he was, I don't know if he's born in Hawaii or he grew up in Hawaii. You know, he's a very Western guy. And yet the West seem to have only put him in rubbish parts. Not rubbish, that's the wrong thing. But in parts that don't show off just how good he is. It's not just as a martial artist, but as an actor. So, yeah, I mean, good on John Wick for doing that. You know, if they've shown him to a Western audience, it's about time. Been around forever.
Yeah, he has. And, I was relatively ignorant of most of his work, you know, so. Really enjoying finding some of these movies.
Yeah. I noticed that Raging Fire's not.
I'm looking for that too. So.
Yeah. We try and get the 4K disc, guys, if you can, because it is worth getting. Yeah.
I didn't show you last week. Oh. I have it sitting right here at the desk. I meant to show it last week.
Is that the Blu-ray though, or the 4K?
It's only the Blu-ray. Yeah.
Yeah, because the 4K again, I guess it has to be super expensive.
Yeah, it's hard to find.
Yeah.
Yeah,
shame. After last week, but yeah,
is that
pricey.
An Atmos mix, Deej?
Yes, it is the Atmos mix.
Oh, good. Okay, well, at least that's something. Yeah.
That's what I was saying last week. But I'm like, but the 4K and it's not. Raging Fire isn't on Kaleidoscape. The Ip Man 2 is on Kaleidoscape, but the same thing. It's not Atmos.
1080p.
It's 1080p and DTS.
Oh wow.
5.1. Which I compared the two last week, and now I'm going to wait and get Ip Man 2 on disc because it's worth it for the Atmos and the 4K. But Ip Man 3 is in DTS:X on Kaleidoscape.
Okay.
So I'm definitely going to be doing that one. And then 4 isn't on Kaleidoscape, so I'll be buying that one as well. I'll have to buy that disc.
Tyson. 3 is the Tyson fight.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
Raging Fire, again, I know it's a pain because I looked too. I thought, well, look, let me see if I can find it. And I couldn't find it online either. But if you can locate it, it is worth getting. It's a blind buy. You know, you will. The 4K on it is really nice. And it's been shot with that in mind. So. You know,
I'll find it.
Atmos mix is great as well. Yeah, I think it is on eBay, but it's for silly money. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah,
Lawrence of Arabia money.
Pricey.
Yeah, and I mean it's a great movie, but even I'm not going to say that. But let me know when you watch it, then, Deej, because I need an excuse to rewatch my 4K disc.
There you go. So for time, do you want to skip your two streaming shows for next week? Yeah, we'll do those next week.
Yeah, well, and the last one's just me having a bit of a joke, to be honest.
All right. Do you have time to stick around for my... I have some scenes here that I did in my review. Do you want to stick around for that, Steve?
Of?
Well, here we go. It's the... here we go. I'll add these to the scene. So this is what I installed in the middle, the SVS Ultra speaker. And it's... I don't do unboxings, but when I pulled this thing out after pulling out my the NHT center channel, this has got to weigh 25% more, something like that. 20%. I mean, you could feel the difference. I didn't have the time, but I was going to get on a scale with them and weigh them. I don't have a, you know, but I mean, it was a difference. I didn't take a picture of this next to each other, but I will eventually. But you saw the difference in the bookshelf speakers. This is the SVS bookshelves. I just pulled this up. I didn't even realize I could do this. I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. I can actually share the pictures. and these are a little bit bigger, beefier than the difference in weight in these compared to my NHTs wasn't as dramatic. They do weigh more, but it wasn't as dramatic. The finish on them is nicer than the NHTs. These have they both have this same edge right here that you see. The NHTs have that same beveled edge right there, But the corners on these things are a lot nicer. It's just, they're beautiful looking speaker. Aluminum tweeters, the NHTs don't have that. I forget what kind of tweeters they have. These have a composite woofer. So I'm hoping that you can't tear them like you did on the NHTs. but let's just get to what, you know, what everybody wants to know. Opened up with Star Wars. And the opening scene on this one I did, and it was amazing. Nothing short of amazing. I was just now to be like, when I opened up with this, I always open this, and it's like the bass was nicer, everything was cleaner. But what was weird to me, and I this is why I really want to go back and do a back and forth, and I'm working on the system to be able to do it fairly rapidly for doing this with speakers. It's usually not that easy to do, but R and I came up with a system, and then of course now I don't have a second set of speakers to do it with. But the sound came off of the front wall. Like the horns in the opening scene from Star Wars actually moved back and surrounded me around the room. These speakers have actually improved the sound of everything. Like all, I have SVS Primes for my rears, but I didn't install them today. I just did the front stage. It's improved everything around me. Let me give you the, like how I calibrated and everything. Cause I ran Odyssey, multi EQ, and I ran everything small. I crossed these over at 100 hertz because they're rear ported. I didn't want that bloating, and I thought that might help. And Jay at SVS said, "Yeah, that can help." He goes, "Try it there. Try it at 80. Try it, you know, move it around, see how it is." But I went right for 100. My rear channels are all at 120. And my overheads are all crossed over at 120 hertz. And so it just, like I said, the sound just, it became even more enveloping. So that was just with Star Wars. At the 1 hour and 50 second mark at the opening of Star Wars, there is I had mentioned this before, I'd heard it, but there's like a footsteps thing over on the left side. Now it's a more distinct knocking. Like you can hear that. Like I was like, "What?" It was just more clear, clear, I guess. In the boarding the ship, when the ship, you know, you see the Imperial cruiser coming over it, and now you're inside the ship, and you can hear the sounds overhead more clear. And again, it's just the opening scene. Then from there, I moved on to, where did it go? I don't even have the image up here. Let me see.
Come on, you got to put me out of my misery, Deej.
Oh, Avatar?
Please.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you should have asked that.
I've got another couple of minutes, guys, then I am going to have to escape.
All right, let me pull this down there.
Tell me what I need to know.
On 4K, it is not in a high frame rate. It is okay. 4K, 2395. And I checked it using my Lumigen. I checked everything. It's just 4K at most, 24 frames per second. And it looks beautiful. I didn't get an opportunity to take in a lot of it, but it does. It looks beautiful.
And 100% sure it's definitely not HFR.
No, it's only 24 frames per second.
Yeah. Okay. The reason, because I want to make sure, but also the editor of Empire Magazine, Nick Dissemblin, who follows me on Twitter, was watching it earlier tonight as well. Now, he's English and lives over here, and he was watching it in HFR at home. So
on what?
So,
on his disc?
Bear in mind that they are who they are. They will have digital versions, I suspect. So they'll have access to a digital copy via Disney
Plus. I'm sure they're going to have both. Gemini Man's in both. You can get both.
Yeah, but in 4K. Not in 4K. It's not. It's either 60 or it's Blu-ray and it's 24. So, you know, it is a big deal for people like me, only in as much as I said, I stick by this. I will not watch it in 60 frames per second again. I'm not doing that. Or, you know what I mean? HFR, should I say? So yeah, okay. Well, that's positive, isn't it? That's good news. And I'm sure where Kaleidoscape leads, physical media will follow. So I do hope so, because I want to see it again.
Yeah,
how I see it properly. But I cannot go through that again. I'm just not.
I even checked to see if there's different versions of it on the Kaleidoscape, and as of right now, there aren't. I know when Jurassic World Dominion dropped, you could get extended and regular. You just have to download them differently. I would anticipate that someday the 60 frame, or it actually it wasn't even shot in 60. It was shot in 48, I believe.
Yeah,
it was 48. So I imagine someday, because I know Gemini Man is not in 60 frames on Kaleidoscape, but Billy Lynn's Long Halftime is. So they do have the capability of doing it. So I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, that's positive.
I'm hoping we have options when the time comes.
What I'm asking for is the choice.
Yeah.
It looks good. I wasn't given that choice in the cinema. Yeah, well, good, because I wasn't given the choice there. It was you're going to have some sort of bastardized versions of both. You're not going to have, you can't choose one or the other, because if we choose the other, I would. Oh, that's good news. Okay, guys, on that bombshell then, I'm going to get out of here if that's okay. Because I'm feeling pretty rubbish as it is.
Yeah, thanks for sticking around, and thank you very much, Steve.
So, yeah, so I'll dip out. What am I talking about? I'll dip out. It's rather late.
I thought you had to go to sleep, Steve.
Come on.
All right.
All right.
All the best, guys.
Later, buddy.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, let's get back into my review of these SVS speakers and the scenes that I used. All right, right from there, I went into my typical. So I opened with Star Wars, which I always do when I upgrade something sound-wise. And then I go right to Terminator 2. And I do two scenes on this. And I think you know what they are, John, right?
Probably so.
Opening scene. So we have the opening scene. This is good for this scene here. I really like for the dialogue at the beginning. You have Linda Hamilton and her voiceover. So being able to tell, it's like, you know, is this matching what I'm used to for her dialogue? But then you get the big, the battle, the futuristic battle going on. And the opening was really nice. Lots of punch in the bass in these speakers. And now, a lot of these scenes I've been doing over for the last few weeks in anticipation of this, because I'm like getting used to it on my NHTs. And again, I want to go back and forth. I just can't right now, but I am hearing a difference. And it's in my surprise came here in Terminator 2 when I went to the scene that I've talked about a lot at 1 hour and 41 minutes even. I call it wall to wall. And it's the scene when he pulls her through the wall, but then he has to blow the wall open so that they can get out into the hallway. And the wall blows from the left side of your screen to the right side of your screen. That's been a scene that I've used as a reference for a long time, because I had a demo of it that I wanted to duplicate that demo. And for a long time, recently I thought, I'm like, wow, I've done it. I have a great pan across the front. And now with these speakers, I hate to say it, because I feel like, John, you ever feel like you get new stuff and you're like, what have I been listening to my whole life? Like, I thought I had a good system.
Right. But then you've
heard my system.
Now, this is, I take it back, because you did buy these, but you also, I don't know if you artificially force yourself to hear a difference because you've just spent money on things.
No, and that's why I want to do the AB. So, that's why I'm going to set this up. Danny Speakers, that might be your first opportunity, buddy. I want to get people in here to hear this difference, because it is. And I love my NHTs. I loved them for years and years. The clarity, everything I thought was great. But it's like, it'd be like if you walked around with dirty glasses and thought your clarity was great and you cleaned them, you're like, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like?
Right.
That, I mean, I'm not kidding. And I'm not trying to crap on the NHTs. They're great speakers. But wow. I'm like, so this wall to wall, let me talk you through that. The bass it, there's just more bass in the room, but it's more distinct. It's more clear. The clarity of everything is just so much more. Like my NHTs were nice. They were really nice. But now when that wall explodes on the left side, it's, and then the wall lands on the right side, there's a distinct difference in sound. That is, it was different before because you have an explosion on one side and a wall clanking on the other, but it is night and day difference now. Like it's like boom, and you can feel it in your chest from that side. And then all of a sudden on the other side, you get that ding of the aluminum or what, of the steel hitting steel on the other side. It's just, and the whoosh going across. Like I said, it's just the clarity and accuracy of sound that you're getting is so much more. The effect was the same with the NHTs, but it's that clarity that you get. And that pan was so good. And dialogue on scenes like this. And I'll talk more about dialogue when we get to more dialogue heavy scenes.
Right. Look at Paul's comment.
What did he say? What's he saying here? Let me... Well, there's just two of us, so I can actually pull it up and we won't get blocked. That one there?
Yeah.
Didn't we say sometimes an upgrade makes such an obvious improvement you don't have to A-B to convince yourself? Yeah. Yeah, it's... I hate to say it, though, to everybody. It's like, I feel like a fraud now. but it's like, you know what I mean? Like, why didn't I get these earlier? But you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, I'm like, they're just that good. And it's, and I even heard who, oh, it was Paul. Duh. It was Paul I was talking to. Somebody, he was saying like, these are NHTs are used as studio monitors. People, these are well known for being, an NHT speaker is well known for being accurate to the source and this and that. Now, maybe that's the case. And the SVSs just, they up it a little bit and give you a little bit more punch. And I'm just enjoying that. And here's another thing that I thought, I did say this before, I'm older now. These NHTs might actually be accurate. And when you're younger, when I was 30 and I had these, maybe this is what they sounded like, but I'm older. Maybe the SVSs are a little brighter. So now I'm getting to hear like I heard when I was 30. And Johnny Speakers and I have had this conversation. Like maybe that's why I would prefer a brighter speaker. I don't know, but I feel like it's like I said, it's like the dirty glasses thing, a dirty window. Like you looked out at it for 30 years and you thought it was great. And then you were like, oh, wait, look at this product, Windex. Right. Holy crap. There's more light out there. It's that good. And it's like I said, I'm not a fraud. I know what I heard before. I enjoyed it. I've never enjoyed my theater more than I've always have. And this is just but from Terminator 2, I went to the Batman, and I just went to the 1 hour, 18 minute mark with the Bat, when we meet the Batmobile. And this is, I wanted to hear, obviously you want to hear the Batmobile and everything about it, but the base, I wasn't expecting, that's the other thing, I wasn't expecting to get the extra punch that I'm getting in my bass, because I've always had the SVS subwoofers. I've always had that. I've my subwoofers haven't changed,
right?
But it's that middle, I guess, mid bass and everything, and the accuracy of all of that that I'm getting is so much better. It's just so accurate. It's, and then the highs. So like the Batmobile, when you hear that thing wind up, the gunshots leading up to it, because I started like I said, 1 hour and 18 minutes. So you get the gunshots and Penguin going, and he's shooting it. But and then the camera pans off to him and they go off to the side. Super accurate. Nice punch to them. But when that Batmobile winds up and you hear that jet engine and you're like, oh, the clarity in that, and then the bass when it finally roars to life, it's just so clear. like, and I've seen this scene so many times recently, and so I know that I haven't heard it this way. I can't wait to do an AB on it. Then the chase, and you know, the chase ensues where he's chasing Penguin, and at 1 hour 22 minutes, the construction barrels when Penguin goes to the other side of the road, and you get the more accurate, more realistic, just the dum 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 dum. Just felt better than it's ever felt. 1 hour 23 minutes. Batman is avoiding the debris in his car, and the debris meaning cars and pieces of trucks going by, everything going by you. The accuracy of the pans of going left to right and back and foot, like across, diagonally across as he's swerving, the bass, the dialogue, not dialogue, I'm sorry, the higher pitched sounds of the screeching and everything going on around you. So clear, really, really nice. And then the 1 hour, 23 minute and 55 seconds. And it's when Penguin rolls and that you're in the car, and that roll so much more realistic and distinct of that sound. It just, these three speakers have improved my entire room. Like it's like I said, with Star Wars, it moved those horns off the front stage and actually moved them in around me. It made sounds feel like they were deeper in the room, and it created a larger theater for me. All the settings are the same. I'm still using game mode, right? Still listening at reference level, but everything just feel, I felt like I was in a bigger theater. It just, it's hard to describe, and I can't wait to be able to go back and forth. So you'd be like, now I'm going to get to experience these for a little while, and not like maybe a few weeks before I can get another NHT, set it up and go back and forth. And when I go back, I have a feeling I'm going to be like, this is what I listen to. And be like, but from here, from the Batman, well, what do you think I went to?
Bloodshot?
No, I actually thought of it. I didn't have time. I actually thought of it as funny, but this, I mean, opening scene, Top Gun Maverick, opening scene to 3 minutes, just listening to that, the bass more extreme than it was before, the cables on the aircraft carrier, when they go, wee, 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 you know, they make that weird cable snapping noise, not snapping, right, but bending and moving. That I made note of that. That was really a lot more clear and distinct. Dark Star starts at 6 minutes 40 seconds. This is where the dialogue, there was a difference. Now this is going to sound weird. It's not as loud. I felt like on my NHTs the dialogue was louder, okay, which made you understand, be like, well, that's clarity, right? I can hear it, I can understand everything. Now this is what I thought was weird. My room is so enveloped that the room is louder than the center channel, or the dialogue, I should say, right? But I can still understand the dialogue crystal clear. Does that make sense? Do you see what I mean? Yeah. Like it'd be like, you know, like when you're in a crowded room with somebody, it's like you want the room to quiet down so you can understand, right, the person you're talking to. This allowed you to have the room be loud, but then
still understand.
You can still understand the person. The dialogue that's going on. And this is a great scene for that, because the jet's going on, you know, you have the Dark Star going, you have him talking in the cockpit, you have the people talking there, and they're flipping back and forth. There's a lot of that going on. Way, way more depth in the bass, in the textures of the bass. There's more rumbles, like you feel it more on your chest here. Like when the scramjet transition happened, there was more texture than I ever remember. When he was taking off and he's like powering up, you could feel, and it was like, it wasn't just a, ooh, it was like, you could feel those different, like even more, really insane how the difference, Chapter 6, if you just jump to Chapter 6 on the disc or on the Kaleidoscape where I was using it, 32 minutes, 40 seconds, it's attention on deck, but it's that scene when they go right to the classroom, but it's like they're in a hangar, and you get a sonic boom to open the scene. That had so much more punch than I remember. And then the jets fly around the room while you sit in this classroom and you hear the jets start at the right front. And then they go all the way around your room. And the clarity on that was more than I remember, more than I was expecting there. 35 minutes and 40 seconds. This is where don't get fooled again. It's the whole training montage and everybody they opened that scene again with sonic booms. And then the role when Maverick, when Maverick comes over Rooster in that, it's towards the end of it when he's like, I've been here the whole time. And he goes, whoosh, way more detail of it coming up and over your room and detail in the highs. But also, like I said, it's that base, it's that lower extreme that you just like, just more detail in the whooshes and stuff. And then, the final one, the 2 minutes and 15 seconds scene at 1 hour, 19 minutes and 25 seconds. His breathing, and this is where you get into maybe this is kind of the dialogue, because he's in his jet and he's going and he's going to do this mission in 2 minutes, 15 seconds and prove to everybody it can be done. But you're hearing the jet noises go by. You're hearing the rumbles have way more detail in them than they had. The noises coming over the jet, the air going over the wings, more detail on both sides of your room. But then hearing him going and back and forth, it was just, there was more detail there than I ever heard. Pans all around, base sweeps, like I was saying, of the air going as the plane is moving, just much, much different textures and feels than I've ever felt before. And then from there, I wrapped up with another scene that I've seen so many times in the opening scene from the movie Avengers. This has the dialogue, it has pans, it has bass, the spaciousness. This scene is probably other than Star Wars, this is probably a scene that I've seen more than any other movie. So I know it like the back of my hand, and I've experienced it so many times because there's a lot of scenes in this, or a couple of scenes in this movie I always jump to when I upgrade something or I want to test something. But I always open with this first one, so I've seen it so many times. And I've never experienced it like I've experienced it today with the SVS speakers, because it's so, you know, like it's just before Loki comes in and they're in that Hubble telescope or whatever room, that's an actual NASA room. The spaciousness that it made, and then the creaking noises as you're getting to those parts where Loki takes over and the building's going to collapse in on you. These three speakers across the front have made my overhead experience even better now. It felt like even more than it did before. I don't know. I can't describe it. I'm trying to describe it. But it is an amazing experience today that I was not anticipating. I actually, like I said, after talking to Paul last week, I thought maybe the NHTs might win, because Paul was, mentioning that, they're studio monitors, and I'm like, to think that, I'm like, oh, who knows? I don't know. I was going to give both sides a fair shake. There's no doubt in my mind. I prefer these over the NHTs. I definitely want to try. I want to AB it, because like you said, like, do you do it? Are you just trying to talk yourself into it? But here's the thing. What am I talking myself into? If I don't like it, I just return them.
Right.
right? This is a legit test. This isn't like I made my purchase. I have no choice. I have to enjoy them.
Right.
No, 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 no. You know, I had to install them in a hurried way today, and I did it right. I didn't skip any corners. I calibrated the room. I did all of that, took the time. But at the same time, I am blown away. I did not expect this big of a jump from the NHTs to the SVSs. I've had many people over the years tell me, like, people had been like, what do you, they'd want to recommend like a SVS or a speaker upgrade. And I'd say, well, I have NHTs. Oh, those are really good. Those are probably very similar. That's what I went off of.
Right.
Now, hearing them in my room, I've heard SVSs before. I've experienced them before, not in my room. But then, you know, you travel and you're like, all right, well, it's the same thing. No, it's not. It's not. So I don't know. Questions, comments?
No.
No.
I mean, it's not, I didn't hear him, so I.
You know. Yeah, I know. No, but you heard my system before, it sounded great.
But yeah, it did. It sounded fantastic. I mean, I just have to trust you. I mean, you know your room, so. I mean, if it sounds better, you would know. I mean, like Paul said, I don't know that you need to do an A/B to know that you think they're an improvement. You've listened to your room for 30 years, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or 20 years, whatever, however long it's been.
This room for 20 years. These speakers for almost 30. I got them in like 95. So, Van Gool says, from what you said, the SVSs are the first you are testing out.
Yeah, yes. So what else are you planning to test?
So the other ones that I was going to test, that I am going to test out, and I'm like, I'm trying not to, I'm trying not to just be like, that's it, I'm done.
Right.
Because if I didn't have like a year, basically, I probably would be done. I'd be like, I'm done. Why bother, right? But at the same time, it's like, you don't know what you don't know. So let me see where I have them written down here. So Focal Arion 900s,
I've heard great things about that line too. So
yes. And the Kef R3s, and they're all relatively same price point. I thought the Kefs were more money because it was $1,700 for the bookshelves, but that's a pair.
Right.
So they all come in right around the same price. The Kefs are more money for like these right here. This is a $700-$800 for the center ultra center. SVS ultra center is $800. The bookshelves are $600 a piece. So I think the other ones might be a little bit more, like $100 each. You know, for each more, for the bookshelves, but no, but the Kefs are like $1,200 for the center channel. It's a it's a bigger difference, and that's why I thought it was weird. I'm like, $1,700 for your left and right, but only $1,200. Usually the center is more money,
right?
So that is about right. So it's about $800, $850 for each left and right, and $1,200 for your center on the Kefs,
right?
So I think I'm gonna pull in first. I'm gonna get the NHTs going so I can actually A/B that, then I'll be bringing in the Focals, and then I'll bring in the Kefs because those are the higher priced ones. But that's, you know, am I going to be blown away again?
Well, you might. You never
know. I know. Yeah. Isn't that scary?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I'm like I said, I wasn't expecting this at all. I really wasn't. And that's what part of me makes me feel like I'm like a fraud. I do think it's part of it is that maybe they are a little brighter and I'm older. So
I think the differences between the speakers you're going to test now will be less than the difference between your NHTs and the SVSs. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the next, like, if you,
right,
when you do the SVS and the Focals, I don't think you'll see as big of a jump.
Right.
You know what I mean? But again, I could be wrong. It could be massive, you know.
Right.
I don't know either, but.
And to be fair too, SVS is being cool with me on this because, I'm like, normally you have 45 days.
Right.
So because of the podcast, I told them what I was going to do. They're giving me longer.
Right.
They're letting me keep them. I don't have like at 46 days, I'm not screwed.
Right.
And they're like, it's like, oh, I got to own them now. You know, they're being very generous in that way that like, what if I love the Kefs? And they're like, no, that's good. But you know, just give them a fair shake. And I'm like, okay, right. Of course I will. But yeah, it's, so, but the other ones, I don't have it. I don't know anybody at Kef. I could probably reach out, but like say, I'd love to test these, but I have 40, like with the next one that say the Focals, I'll have 45 days to do that. And then I'll get it. I got to get them. Or is it, well, no, they're on Amazon. I won't even have that. I'll have 30 days because I'm buying them off of Amazon and then I'll just have to ship them back. And that's fine. But I'm going to experience like these, like that was my line of thinking as well, John, is that I don't anticipate the next two sets to be as big of a jump. So it'll be more of a preference thing.
Right.
And I'm hoping that I'll experience the SVSs for a little while here. And then when I go, I'll, you know, not as much experience as I've had with NHTs, but I'll be able to, when I go to the Focals, I'll be able, as soon as I turn those on, I'll be like, oh, wow. Okay. Are these different? Are they the same? Is it going to literally take the AB to tell the difference? Right. And do I like that? So, but this, it was amazing. So pretty amazing. That's it. Awesome. I can't wait to get back in the room.
Yeah.
I watch all my scenes again and, you know, set it up, get it all running and get, and I got some cleaning to do.
Yeah, for sure.
So this has been a shorter show. We started late, but it's,
we did, cause we got a late start.
Yeah. We got a late start. Cause
Steve skipped a bunch of shows that he was going to talk about.
Yeah. So, but all right. Well, that'll do it. Just a nice, tidy 2-hour show this week. 2 hour and 15, whatever minute show. So,
yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments, let me know. Questions about the SVS speakers, any about the scenes, let me know. I have more comments. I have way more comments. My head's reeling. It's been a long day trying to get this thing running. Appreciate everybody watching, listening, following along in the chat. We've had the most popular chat we've had so far. Approached at one point, I looked up, we were over 20 people at once, which for us is huge. All at once. I'm like, we usually get a good turnout by the end of the day, people watching it. So, but John, are you still there? Oops, we lost John. He's frozen here. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Luckily we have everything here, so I can just take care of it. I don't even need John or Steve anymore. John's gone. So let's see. We'll wrap the show up this way. Everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Any questions, comments, keep them coming. We'll talk about that next week. And until then, what do you got to do? John?
Go push play.
Steve?
What he said.
We're out of here. Thank you very much.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.